This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
What's going on with your life? Are you not ready to reveal that
No,
yet?
I'll reveal it. I'm moving out of state for I was gonna say first time in my life, first time in my adult life. When I was a teenager, I moved to Florida from Michigan, and I'm making the trek up to Richmond, Virginia next week at the time of this recording.
Yeah, leaving behind your friends, your family, so
all my loved ones. Yep.
Well, I wish you luck. This is basically our send off here, at least physical appearance, last recording session here. I mean, I know I'll see
for
you
for a while. Yeah. I mean, there'll be another in person recording.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I'm going to visit, and just so you folks know, my kids and wife are coming with me. I'm not leaving them behind. but our podcast will still be based out of Central Florida, so the
of
Central
course, yeah.
Florida Critics Association. That nothing will change there.
If anyone's checking up from their checking up on us,
wink, wink. No. But yeah, seriously.
Yeah, I wish you luck. Yeah. I think it's a great move for you and your family. I think it's going to be fantastic. And you know. So what? Yeah. For me, who cares about me?
Yeah, no one.
Who cares about you not being able to see your parents, not being able to check in with me? I mean, that's nothing.
Well, that's why I say, yeah, who cares? Well, that's why I say this won't be the last time ever we'll be an in-person one, because I'm gonna visit.
You'll come down. We'll set something up at my place.
Yeah, maybe I'll come down and we'll have a screening or something. Ooh. And you know, we can do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, set up at your place. I don't know. We'll see. But, yeah, I'm done with Florida. I'm done. I got to get out. I need seasons again.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we'll... It's. I'm glad we're in person.
Oh, yeah.
Going to be a fun night. And, yeah, I'm excited.
I don't remember the last time we've done it. And, like, COVID just broke our whole routine. And
well, that's when we... Because when we... Before COVID, we did a couple Skype shows, and it was just awkward and just didn't feel right. But then when COVID hit, we got used to it, and then it was just like, all right, this is fine.
Well, it's like Zoom is still awkward,
yeah,
but we just deal with it,
right?
But nothing beats, you know, there's no delay, you know.
Yeah.
And so in-person thing, it definitely just so much easier, but we got lazy, and the convenience of being able to not like change much other than going into a room and
well, also, I'm sure it was not easy on the wallet, because you would have to Uber home a lot.
Yeah.
Because
not that bad. It's like 10 bucks. Yeah. I mean, I literally live like it's 2 miles.
Right. Yeah.
I think. The Uber guy's like, really? It's like you could have just walked. Oh, no. So what are we doing here tonight, Ben?
Well, I was going to ask you. I was going to... You got inspiration struck... Somehow, and I was going to ask you about what somehow it struck. I was going to ask you about how this inspiration struck. You texted me the words flopbuster mentality.
Yeah.
And then
that's a word that's been that I've seen in a few different places, like Twitter, stuff like that. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And it's been kind of up until really Barbie and Oppenheimer, this has been a summer of flops. I think there's about a month period, and as you were talking about, you were worried about the release date of how Oppenheimer might suffer. Turns out it's actually Mission Impossible that suffered the most.
Yeah, and that's why I was shocked, because it was the week after Mission Impossible.
Yeah, and so you got The Flash, you got Indiana Jones.
Yep.
Mission Impossible, I mean... You really wouldn't have thought all three of those would have done so poorly.
Yeah, yes.
And then there's some of the animated underneath, and then there was that Jennifer Lawrence movie. I mean, there was like a month period, I think, where for whatever reason, Americans just did not want to go see anything. They're like, no, thank you.
I mean, with the prices of everything, do you think people were saving up to do this whole Oppenheimer double feature thing?
I don't know.
Barbenheimer or whatever they call it?
I still find it fascinating. Like, I know, so neither one of us have seen, you haven't seen Barbie yet, right?
No,
so neither one of us have. I mean, that movie's going to make $1 billion.
Yeah.
Now, I can see there is, the aesthetics are very cool. Margot Robbie, the trailers were basically completely vague, but looked fun.
Yeah, there was no sense of the plot, and I still don't know what it's about. I know it does have an agenda. Seems like the men are bad type of thing, but they are
obviously. but it's a female facing film, and so you wouldn't necessarily be that wouldn't surprise you that it might have like a feminist message.
No, Barbie,
female empowerment, all that stuff. You'd expect that
movie about Barbie, directed by a female star. It should be about that.
It's a long-standing IP, really.
Right.
This isn't like an original. Oh, the story is original, but it's not like a brand new film. And in a lot of ways, I guess Oppenheimer is the same way. It's based off a book. But I think it's slightly different than that. It's not based off of a toy.
Right.
But in other words, what surprised me is how well it's doing. Because I don't see the movie as for little girls. I see it as for grown women.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting to see how much they've come out and maybe dragged their husbands and boyfriends.
I saw someone post or something like, should I take my kids to Barbie? And like, even though it's, it's PG-13... like, should I take my under 13-year-olds to it? And a lot of people are saying, like, I might not. Yeah, it's definitely more so for the upper teenager to adult level.
So girls, not a lot under 10 kind of a thing?
Yeah, that's what I'm gathering. Yeah. I mean, you can do what you want with your kids, folks.
Okay. I mean, I watched Rated R movies. We watched Rated R movies when we were young children,
young bucks,
young lads. So with that Flopbuster thing, it kind of made me think, well, maybe this could be a space for us to do kind of a little series, or maybe do just maybe expand what we do in the podcast and to look at flops. They could be giant ones like the one we're going to talk about here, or ones that just were not profitable, and maybe in sort of revisiting them with new eyes to maybe give a different kind of a judgment.
Yeah, I think that's what interested me too, because like when you initially hear Flopbuster, like a lot of good movies have flopped, and that's what intrigued me too. Is like it doesn't have to always be a bad movie.
No,
that we're talking about.
Money earned has really very little to do with quality most times.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And because I don't think this movie's been talked about to death, but like Shawshank Redemption, like that was a total flop at the blocks office. the Blockbuster
that's
mentality
a good example
office.
Yeah
and that's one we probably wouldn't do it maybe someday, but
maybe.
But yeah, that's an example of one where it's like nominated for Oscars and considered it as one of the best movies of all time, and yet it did terrible at the box office.
That doesn't surprise me, because there's nothing in the trailers, and really when you watch the film, there's nothing immediate that really it's getting into the story and understanding the characters, and I don't know that there's a good way to market what that movie really is. It doesn't surprise me that people weren't drawn to it, and even the title,
right?
Hell is the Shawshank Redemption?
I think that was a big part of that one flopping, which maybe we should do that one and discuss kind of how it flopped and stuff. But yeah, the title threw people off,
and I think the title of this movie, John Carter,
yep,
if you're unfamiliar with the novels, which I don't believe wasn't a household name property.
Yeah.
Not something like a Stephen King or just, I don't think it had I could be wrong, but it was nothing I had ever heard of. And even still, I even like struggle to say what the movie is again, because I don't get the, like just calling it John Carter. And I think the initial, the Princess of Mars?
Yeah.
That's a better title for a movie.
Right. Yeah, that was
John Carter.
Yeah, because when you just see John Carter, it's like, wait, who? Like, what is this? basketball movie or something.
I don't know, Coach Carter. It sounds so generic.
Yeah, like
it could be anything.
Yeah, exactly. Like we were talking before the show, it even confused me with the whole John Tucker Must Die movie. Like I was thinking, wait, wasn't there a movie called John Carter Must Die or something? So like that threw me off. But yeah, a princess of Mars. Like
I'm kind of interested.
Yeah, that automatically is like what?
Yeah, that says something.
Yeah.
Tells me that okay, there's a princess, which implies there's some sort of society and structure, and then it's on Mars. Okay, how does that work? I'm already kind of interested in that idea.
Right, exactly, and it's not so it's a niche book where you know only certain it was kind of a cult following type thing, and didn't really have much else to it, like a very niche book, niche following, whereas. And they call it John Carter, the movie.
Yeah.
You know, whereas, like, it's not like it's an Indiana Jones where you can just call it Indiana Jones. Like, first of all, come up with something like A Princess of Mars before you call it John Carter. Like, even...
Tell me more about what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Even, like, The Bourne Identity, they eventually came out with a movie called Jason Bourne.
Right.
If you're familiar... It's obviously an established franchise.
But that's later.
So
yeah.
It's like, okay, that makes sense that they called the movie Jason Bourne.
And, you know, I'm looking at this poster. We got it up here. It just says, John Carter, he's riding some bizarre creature, and I still don't know what it is. And then there's a tagline, lost in our world, found in another. But where, I feel like I'm just lacking information.
Yeah, that's where I'm at too. Because when you suggested this movie, because, we looked up, box office flops and everything, and I was,
let's go for a big one.
I didn't know.
I didn't even know what to say about it, right?
Well, yeah, because I didn't know what it was about. Like, I remember vaguely when it came out.
Yeah, like, I remember some trailers, and then I didn't see it, and then it just disappeared.
Yeah. I think there was a Super Bowl, it came out, the preview came out during the Super Bowl, and it was, like, totally vague. I guess the marketing, like, said nothing about he was from the Civil War era and ended up in Mars. Like, it was, like, totally, like, no one, it just looked like a generic sci-fi movie, which it kind of is.
CGI.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantasy elements.
Right.
Clearly. Yeah.
But yeah, it's the title, first of all, yeah, that was a big problem there, I would say.
From what I understand, this was something that was a property that was that studios have tried to make for a long time. There was like, it reminds me a little bit of the Flash movie where it was in like development hell. For a while, we're going to have this writer, we're going to have this director, someone who gets attached to a project.
Right.
And then finally, when they spit the thing out, it's just a jumble. It's a mess. And it's like some final version of a bad draft or something like that. Now, I will say, I like The Flash, but there's no question that what we got out of that movie wasn't the best version that we could have gotten.
Sure.
Like, say if they had just like adapted the Flashpoint Paradox comic where you end up with like Thomas Wayne instead of Michael Keaton, they'd be like, no. And I can just imagine a studio head saying, no, Michael Keaton's going to put those asses in the seats.
Right.
You know, we don't want to do something weird. Like maybe Ben Affleck is actually Thomas Wayne or something, just something weird because I don't think we've really seen, we've seen little bits of Thomas Wayne. I think the most we maybe have seen is in Joker.
Yeah. Joker. Was.
Is that the most theatrically we've seen?
Yeah. I mean, Jeffrey Dean Morgan plays him in, Batman v Superman, but you only see him briefly. Like, just for the killing... Yeah. Like, yeah, we basically only see him in the killing scene. Yeah.
But wouldn't that be interesting to just have, like, a Jeffrey Dean Morgan is Thomas Wayne, but as actual Batman? That would be very weird for the audience, and they would be shocked.
Right.
Along with it, but then that would be a risk. But no, they went... Actually, would seem to be, like, the safe route. Everybody likes Michael Keaton, because he's amazing, and it didn't put anyone... No one wanted to see him for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it didn't work. And so when you get, like... I don't know what happened with this film. I think something tells me if I read one of these novels, they might be pretty intriguing. Because yeah, I think there is a good story in here somewhere.
Well, let's get our thoughts on the movie, I guess, and then we'll kind of pick apart where we think it might have went wrong and things like that.
Do you want me to go or do you want to go?
Real quick, I just wanted to also mention it was directed by Andrew Stanton,
yes,
who did... This was his first live-action directorial... This was his live-action directorial debut. He directed WALL-E and Finding Nemo before this. I mean, so he's an animation guy.
Two of the best animated movies ever.
Right, yeah. So it's like... But, like, to put your, you know... Put your IP in the hands of someone who's never done this before is a risk.
Certainly, yeah.
For his first live action feature, though, I'd say hats off to him. Like, you know, I thought, you know.
And for what I could tell, he hasn't been allowed to direct another movie ever since. It's only been TV. I'm looking through again. Stranger Things, Better Call Saul, episode here, Legion episode, Tales from the Loop, For All Mankind. So unless this unless my IMDb filters are incorrect, I don't think he's directed another movie since. And in fact, this movie may have killed a few careers, or at least a couple of careers. I think there's a few failures with this movie in a bunch. One is the cast.
Yeah.
Not the cast as a whole, but the leads.
Mm-hmm.
We have Taylor Kitsch and
who plays the titular role.
Yeah. The titular. The
titular. As soon as I said that, I was like, oh, yep, here it comes.
Sit on that for a moment.
Here it comes.
And Lynn Collins as Deja.
Yep.
These are... Not good performances.
Not household names.
Not good performances. Yeah. Now, the rest of the supporting cast is quite talented and good and do, I think, as good a job they can with the material. Taylor Kitsch, I almost... His performance is so unconvincing and bad, I almost feel bad in calling it out. In a way that I normally don't feel bad,
because it does feel like he's trying really hard. It's just not.
I feel like I'm kicking someone while they're down, because I sympathize. Something's wrong here.
He should be a sidekick. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like even Dominic West, I feel like, even though he has more of a face of a villain, you know, I hate to say it, but he does. Yeah. But the character John Carter, I think, would have fit him more, I think.
Yeah.
Like Dominic West is, but even though he's not really a household name, except if you like watch The Wire or, you know,
The Crown or a million things he's been in.
Right. But like back in 2012, The Crown, you know, hadn't come out yet. So yeah, The Wire, I think, was the biggest thing.
Taylor Kitsch is so bad here. And did they do something with like eyeliner in his eyes or something? I don't know. Yeah. They made him emo, kind of.
Yes, definitely.
And he's always like, I don't want to do that. He has like a gruffness to him. Uh-huh. I don't want that.
Right.
And so maybe there's something in the story, because he's like Civil War vet, family killed, kind of sadness internally. But we get in the beginning, we get a lot of sort of like he gets captured and then he escapes kind of action. And I know that I'm supposed to be rooting for him, and I just cannot.
Yeah, there's something very unlikable about him. Like, what are you doing, dude? You know?
There's no charm.
Yeah.
And now a lot of it also would be direction and writing, you know, setting things up like the way someone like Spielberg would, for to help Harrison Ford just do something and then we love him. You know, like to get a character over. None of that happens in this film. It feels like no one really knows what they're doing in this movie. There's no clear sense of what the movie wants to be. Is it funny? Is it an epic? Is it dramatic? I don't know what's going on in this movie.
You can't even tell he's the hero. Other than the movie's called John Carter, and we know this is John Carter.
That's it.
We don't know he's a hero. Like, he shows no redemption qualities at all until he sees a girl falling. Oh, that's a human. Let me save her. Like, that was literally his turnaround moment. Ooh, a hot girl. Let me go save her.
Pretty much.
Like... Yeah, like, so that, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily blame Taylor Kitsch for that aspect. I think that might be execution and writing.
Certainly. I just think he was miscast. That doesn't even make him a bad actor.
Right, yeah. There was no charming aspect to him, though.
If he's told to play gruff, then he's playing gruff.
Right, yeah.
There's no smirk. Yeah. There's no turn where they don't allow him to do something, because he's so one note through... Like 90% of the first 2 hours of the movie. I have to feel like there must be something. You got to be something else than that, right?
He's they showed no hints of it.
No.
Either.
He's just an angry guy.
Yeah.
Throughout. Yeah. And who keeps escaping. And it just becomes a trope of its own self.
Yeah, it didn't. Okay, I'm glad you brought that up because I really, now that you say it, like I can articulate it better. Like, because, yeah, that, I was just like, oh my God, like,
what's going on with this character?
He's not likable.
No.
He's not likable at all.
And if I don't like him, then this is dying fast.
Now, I will say on paper, the premise is interesting.
I think so, too.
You know, a Civil War vet gets sucked into Mars, like not even another dimension, like an actual other planet.
Yeah.
You know, you have that whole exposition scene at the beginning of, you know.
With Bryan Cranston as well?
Right. Well, the very beginning where they have. You know, they actually explain that Mars is.
I kind of liked it.
Yeah. I was like, okay.
And as I'm watching it, I'm thinking in my mind, like, oh, am I going to be pleasantly surprised by this film?
Right. Yeah.
You know,
that's how I was thinking too. I mean, I did like it better than I thought I would. I will say that before we even
end this. It's not dog shit.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. There's just a lot wrong with it. You know, again, the casting, for the leads.
You may think of someone better in this role, but because I don't know Taylor Kitsch. I don't know if this wrecked his career or not. I almost feel bad of how much of a mismatch this was.
Yeah.
You just needed, the easy one is just to go to Chris Pratt. But just saying it, you'd be like, oh, okay, I think this movie would be 50% better.
Right.
Right?
No.
But he's not the only one. But
he has a likability to him. And
yeah.
You're familiar with him.
Taylor Kitsch is just brooding.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, yeah, I don't know. He doesn't have, I hate to use this term, but he doesn't have the it factor. You know, he's not a leading man.
He's not.
He's not. I don't know what he's turned into now. Maybe unless this did ruin his career. I'm not sure.
We're hoping he's still alive. Yes.
Really hope so. But I will say, the supporting cast, I didn't have.
They're all great.
I loved Willem Dafoe as one of the aliens. Tharc, is that what they are?
Yeah
the Tharcs. Thomas Hayden Church is a Tharc. You got like we said, Mark Strong, Dominic West. You had mentioned Bryan Cranston earlier. He was a colonel in the Civil War when we were in that era.
Yeah, nice little spot by him. I can never pronounce his name, but Syrian Hines is my closest.
Yeah. Mance Rayder
and Julius Caesar, if you watch the Rome series. And he's obviously great in everything he's in.
Yeah. David Schwimmer? Interesting. I'm just going down the cast. Yeah, me neither. He's a Tharc, so.
I mentioned, I kind of lumped Lynn Collins as Deja into leads. She's beautiful, but I don't know if she's top-notch.
So, yeah, that's the thing. Her and John Carter, Taylor Kitsch, were just very bland.
I think she was given less. I think she really tried. She was given a little bit less to work with. I might give her a pass. Although, you know, as we are sitting here over 10 years later, I don't even know that I've seen her in anything else.
Nah. Yeah. I mean, I definitely don't think I have. On paper, it seems like an interesting story, but then it gets a little generic, you know, the princess gets given away to the guy who's. Yes. You know, their enemy and has to marry him, and you know,
the story is simple, although there is some. So, all right, so let's talk my other problem first, which is the aesthetics of the film.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's happening. I don't believe that this Mars exists because now you have these like crazy green people. I don't think the CGI is all that bad.
Yeah, at first it was like laughable at the very beginning, almost laughable, just because I was like, wait, what is this? But it wasn't bad.
I think you kind of it kind of grows on you. It's not terrible. Where it dies for me a lot is with the, I don't know if they call them humans, but Martian people type. I don't know what these societies are. They're sort of in like a Greek/Roman time period, but they're also kind of like pirates. And then they've got these flying pirate ships. I don't understand this world. I don't understand their technology. I don't believe any of it, really.
Other than the Tharks, yeah, there's nothing alien about it. It seems almost too familiar.
It's like a mismatch of different periods of human history just thrown into this thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you got like futuristic things because they can like transport, and you got these. What are Mark Strong's things called? The Therns, like what like that can like shapeshift.
Oh,
and
yeah,
like,
yeah.
All them like. So
I
like,
don't know what they are. We don't. There's really no. All of the fantastical elements of the film, they really never clearly establish or at least let you understand what those things are and how right. they work. They just sort of happen. And you might get a line by someone that they might think that they're explaining it, but they're really not.
Yeah.
You know, I think there was some, it's interesting. I feel like there was some plot hole protection in this script. Like there's one point at the end where John Carter's flying in and there's a guard who's like going to shoot. He's like, oh, no, don't worry. He's one of ours. That felt like plot hole protection.
Right.
Someone
yeah.
just to say it. But it doesn't help the actual story. Like, no. Why is he flying? Still, why would no one fire on him just flying in just because one guy says, don't worry? It's like, you know.
Well, so, it's like C-3PO and R2-D2 escaping from the escape pod. There's no life forms aboard.
Exactly. Yeah.
What are we, charging by the laser?
Yeah. So that was plot hole protection by George Lucas then, yep. sort of. But then Family Guy upped the stakes.
Yep. Exactly. Thank you, Family Guy, for pointing that little tiny thing out.
Valid point. Why not just shoot? Who cares? Yeah.
Well, speaking of him jumping around, like, I mean, it's totally, like, not a ripoff, but I mean, him being able to jump so high is totally a Superman thing. Like,
I agree.
That's how, I don't know if they explain it this way in the comics, but like, I think in Man of Steel, they say something about it. Like, he's able to fly and do everything so well because of the gravity on Earth is so much different than
the power
it was on Krypton.
And the power of the sun. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But this one, I got to say, I still don't really get how it works because when he first, it's almost like it's, rather than pulling him down, it almost like wants to flip him over.
Yeah.
And then there's I don't know, call it 2 or 3 feet above the surface where if you clear that, then gravity has almost very little effect on you. I didn't get that. Did you?
No.
Like
yeah,
I don't understand how it works.
Like I don't understand like if the gravity was so low, like why was he getting brought down so hard? Like
right.
when he was first trying to walk on the planet, like
yeah, but it wasn't just. But what I was saying, it's not just that he was being dragged down.
Right.
It's that it would topple him.
Right. Yeah.
Which it not is. That's not what gravity would do. It would just literally just pull you.
Yeah.
You wouldn't necessarily. It wouldn't like make you lose your balance. You just wouldn't like. It would just make it harder to move in any way.
Right. I know. Yeah. Yeah, that didn't really make sense.
I didn't get it. But you like. You accept it, and then you get, he can sort of fly, he can sort of jump, he could like, it was almost like he was on like an invisible staircase.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
Yeah, it was, but yeah, I mean, that was the closest thing I could compare it to is Superman.
Yeah, like,
it was
right, just, yeah.
Definitely, like, someone from a different world is, you know, but as I was saying about the tropes, you know, like I said, the princess needing to marry the enemy and stuff like that, I mean, there's the obvious juxtaposition they do of he's from the Civil War and the Civil War are also dealing with American Indians, and then you got the Tharks who are essentially like the American Indians of Mars.
You're doing an Avatar thing.
You got a Civil War going on between, you know, the quote unquote humans of Mars, which, what is it called in this? What is Mars called in this movie? Harpoon or something?
Yeah,
plop, plop, plop.
Basum and ploploon, it doesn't matter.
I know.
They're literally just words.
I know.
Like, I mean, but, honestly.
But it's...
Basum?
It is such an obvious, like, comparison.
Yeah, I'd
like,
agree with you. For sure.
Like, it's like they meet the American Indians in the beginning scene with Bryan Cranston and then, oh, but then it's like almost racist in a way. Like these Tharks are like savages and like race, like, oh, that's my baby. That's my baby. Like,
I don't know what the hell was going
on. That was weird.
They have these hatchlings in a cave, and then yeah. It's like some mad grab for the hatchlings. Like,
I apparently you don't know who your blood child is. Like, right. It's a way of, like, yeah. keeping it separate, but then... Uh-huh. Willem Dafoe's character knows that one of them is his daughter. I will say Willem Dafoe was a strong point of this movie. Like,
the good character there.
He gives 110%.
And it comes across. Yeah.
Like, any role he's in, like, no matter how crappy the movie is, he's going to give his best.
Yeah. Even if it's just as voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it really came through. And as we mentioned, the CGI really wasn't that bad. Their whole society was pretty cool. And in fact, here's another thing I'll say. If you take away most of the action sequences that come up within the first half of the film, because they're all terrible,
right? Yeah.
If you take those away, I really would be curious what that movie might look like. If instead of us seeing like those pirate ship battles and like I don't know, like some hordes of people fighting each other, because you don't really know, you don't care.
I had to do homework for the show, so I watched. Fast-forwarded through a few of those scenes. Dumb. So I was like, all right.
But there's one where they went to because the story briefly is that Civil War John Carter he's going into a cave because he thinks there's gold down mm-hmm. there, right?
Yeah.
I think he ends up in that cave, and then some other emissary from Mars. There's this I don't want to call it a teleporter or a transporter type thing that a handheld
right
thing,
yeah yeah which it's yeah
which allows you to jump between different worlds and places right. Anyway, one of those people from Mars shows up and then does Jen Carter shoot him?
Yeah, he shoots him and just out of they're like, apparently immortal, but
yeah
they can
I think he shoots shot. Him not intending to murder him but just out of fear,
right?
Is yeah. that what it was?
Something
yeah.
like that. Yeah,
yeah. And then as that guy's dying, he says some keywords. John Carter grabs the thing and then wakes up on Mars.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what they find is there's some other story behind the significance of this how this thing works, and there's controlling the planet maybe through water, because this princess one thing.
Yeah, she was obsessed with water.
Yeah, yeah, because she's like, "Oh, you sail on the water?" I don't believe it, because right. they fly though. But flying is pretty good too. It's kind of better than being in water.
I know. It's like,
but anyway, but they end up in this. There's a scene where they end up trying to find out some secret where they take the thing to figure out how the seven lights work. I'm like struggling to even describe what this
no,
is.
No, yeah.
But when they're going down at that river canyon, that was cool. When the ship comes in to pick them up in the desert, it reminded me a little bit of Dune. Like when her family's ship kind of comes and gets John Carter.
Mm-hmm.
So there is some intriguing elements here, I think.
I was going to say, there is a lot of this that actually did remind me of Dune.
Yeah.
You know, just the dynamics and the, you know, different...
And I don't think this movie lacks for story.
No, definitely not.
If anything, it's got too much.
Yeah, there's too much going on, and then a lot of unanswered things, which I don't know... If they would have been brought up in a sequel, because when you know the things you were talking about, like they've essentially find that he was telegrammed, they called it like to Mars, so his body stayed on Earth, so it's a copy of him, and then that's why his great like the, you know it all comes together at the end. That's why he had a mausoleum. Whatever you call those of his body,
right? Because we get his ancestor just getting read the will mm-hmm. of John Carter. That I'm willing you all this stuff, and that, well, he's in. Yeah, he's in. It's only locked from the inside,
right? Yeah. So yeah only he could get out.
I mean, it's hard to describe because it's really kind of convoluted and weird.
Yeah,
because it doesn't really. Yeah, good.
No, I was just gonna say that all is intriguing.
It's interesting.
It is interesting how it all works. But they don't explain, like, or unless I missed it, Mark Strong's creatures, the Therns, like, what is their motivation?
Yeah,
what are they trying to do?
He's an ancient being that just kind of like messes with worlds.
It almost seemed like a Thanos type motivation at first when he was first explaining it to Dominic West. Like, you know, almost like letting them wipe each other out because.
But I don't know why he cares. But it wasn't.
It didn't end up being that. Yeah, yeah. There was no.
And doesn't he just kind of just disappear at the end of the movie?
Yeah, I don't really know. Yeah, they all think he. They all think he until he died or whatever, right. And then he sends John Carter back, and then John Carter's trying to get back for 13 years. It's like, well, didn't Mark Strong probably destroy everything?
Right, because
then
he disappears, and they're like, we've won. But like, why would you assume he's?
Yeah,
don't want to tell him die, and of course, then he ends up at the very end, which was sort of a setup for John Carter to shoot and kill him.
Right,
but like I didn't understand that. I feel like,
but that wasn't Mark Strong's character. That was a different Thurn at the very end, where he shoots and kills him because he knew there was Thurns on Earth, and that's how he would find the new medallion. Because he acted like he found it and then got buried with it. And then that's when the kid opened it and he knew the Thurn would be behind him. And he shot the Thurn and grabbed the medallion thing.
That wasn't Mark Strong?
All convoluted. No, it wasn't. Unless I'm told. No. It definitely was not Mark Strong.
Oh, okay. Just some other bald guy with white makeup?
No, he didn't even have that.
Oh.
Well, they were all the Thurns were bald.
Right, okay. Yeah. So I was...
You're baldest.
I'll be honest. I watched this movie over 3 nights, and this was like, I finished it last night.
If I'm wrong on that, I apologize. Yeah, it's fine.
But this was my my falling asleep last eye.
Yeah.
So I may be wrong there. But that doesn't that detail does not matter.
No,
really, yeah. At all.
Yeah.
And so I do think there is a movie in here.
Yeah.
And they didn't do a good job. They didn't take what was interesting and give more of it to us. And I don't know what they were thinking with this action. And in 2012, we got the Avengers,
right,
from Disney, and it was kind of a culmination of a growing story. But that's an amazing that studio put out those two movies,
right? Yeah,
you know that probably within a few months of each other, and almost no one remembers what John Carter is. It's like zapped from the memory.
It really is. Yeah, it's. And it could have been a really neat little, you know, sci-fi franchise.
Like, I'm intrigued by, and we'll never get the story ever again. You know, right. They just called this goddamn movie A Princess of Mars. This might have made another 100 million.
No, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about that before the show, or maybe we were talking about that beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, Princess of Mars. Like, yeah, that would have, I think, put more butts
and
in
you
seats.
Swapped,
like,
if you just make that one change to the story of the movie, or I'm sorry, to the title. Swap the leads to God fucking anybody. Dude, Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Anyone. Yeah. Anyone. Just, and then, you know, I think they told him to play it a certain way, and it just got worse and worse and worse.
I'm looking at, the 2012 box office, and I'm trying to think of who could have been a leading man at that time. I mean, you have Christian Bale would have worked.
He's doing Dark Knight Rises.
Well, I know. I'm just saying, though, like, you know, just examples. Okay. These are just examples, dude.
Examples of leading men.
Let's see. What else? The Avengers. who in the Avengers technically could have done it? Chris Evans?
No, he's not. Yeah. No, he is a... I don't like Chris Evans, but he is a Captain America only actor.
Yeah.
Much in the way Gal Gadot is a Wonder Woman only actress.
Yeah. I'm looking at the domestic box office. I can't even find John Carter in the top 20. Oh my goodness.
What they spend on this thing, like 280 or something?
I think close to 300. I don't know. Wikipedia is weird because it says,
God.
Yeah, it says for budget gross, it's 306 million, net 263, which makes no sense.
So just for context, we've had some of those flops that we mentioned. I think The Flash was like 250 million. Indiana Jones was 300 million, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Indy 5. But that's today's dollars with all that awful inflation we've had, you know, over the last 11 years. And so, you know, 300 or 284, whatever it is, 11 years ago is even really just bigger. I mean, you're looking at 350, 400 million, something like that. Terrible. Terrible.
Get this. John Carter domestically made $73 million.
Oh, my God.
I mean, worldwide, it made $284 million. But get this. domestically, it made $73 million. That's not the kicker. The kicker is that was number 36, so the 36th rank. The kicker, though, is Titanic re-release in 3D made $57 million.
So 16 million dollar
difference.
Almost made as much.
Yep.
Good lord.
Oh my goodness.
That's a massive failure.
That really is. I mean, even like Prometheus didn't get, you know, very favorable reviews, but that made 126 at the box office.
Yeah. Not a great movie, but yeah. I liked it.
So this, man.
And I think you get a vibe from the film that they were going to make more of these.
No, definitely. Yeah. I mean, it like I said, it could have been a cool little new sci-fi franchise type thing. Like,
yeah. So I think for us, really, I think our takeaway is, you know, calling out the problems that we have with it, but it's kind of a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
They flubbed it so bad. There is an intriguing story here.
Right.
I think if well told by the right writers, directors, and cast, this could have been a smash, and I wouldn't, you know, we could be talking about John Carter 3 or 4 coming up,
yeah,
and I might be kind of psyched about it, but now it's dead.
Yeah.
It's fucking dead.
Yeah, because, again, on paper, not, you know, obviously not the screenplay, but on paper, there was elements to this that you could have made it very interesting. So
the world building was just way off.
Yeah, the world building was bad. Because
they've got technology mixed with old, like, ancient.
Right. Yeah.
And mixed with pirate.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, what the hell is this place?
Yeah, I don't understand. They needed to explain it more. Like, they tried to explain it at the very beginning with the whole, when Dominic West got his powers from the Thurn or whatever they're called.
Because he just shows up, gives him the thing in his arm, and now me got power, me bad guy. That was it.
Yep.
Okay, so me follow, and then
me
bad guy who gave me power, I listened to him, and I'm now meme villain. What the I hate that story. And, you know, I gotta say, Mark Strong, I like you, but you show up too many times as this person in movies.
Yeah, he is, he does, yeah, because he was in, Kick-Ass.
Shazam,
a bad guy.
He's the same guy.
Yep.
I mean, come on now.
Come on, guy.
Maybe this was his initial appearance as this guy, but
so yeah, it seems like the main problems that made this a flopbuster was, first of all, it was budgeted way too high, way too much of a budget.
We're complaining about movies now with this kind of budget.
Yeah, exactly. And this, it needed to essentially make $500,000 to get its break even.
This budget should have been half.
Yeah.
And it felt like they thought they were making another version of Avatar, and they were not.
Yeah. the budget was way too high. There was no star power. I guess the marketing was bad.
Well, fucking with the title. We looked at the poster.
The title. Yes, exactly.
That's
John Carter.
What is it?
Doesn't tell anyone it's a sci-fi movie. Like we said with Shawshank Redemption, what does that mean?
I mean, just throw it in, you know, Frank Smith.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I want to see that one. Did you hear about the new Frank Smith coming out?
Oh, I can't wait to see oh, my goodness. Frank Smith 3 is coming out. Well, even, I mean,
Frank Smith 3! The return.
Well, it's funny because John Wick, like, that came out, but that has a zing to it. John Wick.
True, but yes, but you didn't spend $285 million.
Yeah, you didn't spend that much money. Plus, you have Keanu Reeves, well-known name, Taylor Kitsch.
I feel so bad for the
guy. I know. I do. Maybe he'll be on the show.
I think this is the first time. Yeah, but I think this is the first time the performance struck me as so bad that I
feel bad for him.
Yeah, I don't. I want to. I feel like I'm kicking him while he's down.
Yeah.
Because it's remarkably bad.
It really is. So, yeah.
It might be one of the worst performances I've ever seen on a screen.
I mean,
for what he was expected to do.
For a big budget film, yes. I would say, I guess there's a lot of big budget films that don't have great acting. I mean, look at Mark Hamill and Star Wars. But it's Luke. We love Luke.
What do you mean?
What?
You're saying Mark Hamill gave a worse performance than Taylor Kitsch?
No, I'm not saying he gave a worse performance. I said there's been bad
Oh, he's not a, Mark Hamill's not a great actor.
Right, yes.
Although he did, when he needed to do what he needed to do in this film, and you know, maybe that's writing and direction too, but Mark Hamill...
All the John Carter marks are going to be after us, and now all the Mark Hamill fans are going to be after me.
Let's complete this thought, though. Mark Hamill is not a great actor in general, but he was a good Luke Skywalker.
Right, exactly.
What they did not find was a good John Carter.
Exactly, yeah. The two leads, the romantic interests, there was no chemistry. They were so dull.
But she
is hot. no star power. No.
Terrible. And,
yeah.
For a way that they, again, the way they filled out this cast, and then just to fail on the leads, you got all the supporting. I mean, you got Bryan Cranston with a really kind of cool little.
I kind of want
to scene.
Honestly, like I kind of want to see another shot at this movie. Like not with like I want to see.
I know. I would
kind of
like,
want to see a remake. They're never going to do it because
it's too, dead.
Too risky now. But
there's a cool there's something
there is
there's a cool movie. Anyway.
I mean, it has me intrigued. I'll probably never read them, but I am interested to see what the books are all about. Like, it's an interesting story. Like, it's a different sci-fi flick, you know, than your normal alien invasion, type thing. Like, it's
and I could see
there's something here.
Yeah, and really I can think of like. John Carter like going back and forth between Mars and Earth.
Yeah, yeah,
And then like having allies. Maybe they come with him back to Mars, or maybe he brings.
Well,
people
that's what
from
I
Mars
thought was
going
to happen. Like I thought he was going to bring her to Earth. I thought he was going to bring his nephew with him to Mars at the end. Like,
there's a lot of cool stuff you could do with this movie.
There really is. So, and then I mean that was kind of cool at the end when it said John Carter of Mars or whatever it said.
They saved it.
And I was like,
could have called the movie that.
That could have been cool. Like,
I know.
Like, I even there was like charming moments when they kept calling him Virginia, and you know, and that was funny and silly. And
Virginia,
Virginia. Yeah. So,
also, did you get the Attack of the Clones in the? In Geonosis, this was the same.
Dude.
It's the same scene.
They had to have used the same tech. Like, what? That was exactly...
They took the thing and then they just deleted the green CGI guy into another, like, CGI...
There was... Because I think one of them was, like, a white furry, thing.
Just, let's add some fur to this guy and then that's a scene.
Seriously.
What's the whole thing?
Disney was acquired in 2012.
Yeah.
Or Star Wars was acquired by Disney in 2012. This came out in 2012, so maybe they just were like, all right, we're using this.
No,
like, it was like the same exact setting.
It really
and
was.
In chains, just like they were in Geonosis. Like,
there's a rumor out there that I don't... There's a rumor out there, speculation, that Disney intentionally tanked this film.
Why would they do that?
Well, one with bad marketing on purpose... something about maybe having to do with buying Star Wars from George Lucas. I don't quite get why they would want one thing to fail for them to help them buy another property. So I don't quite get that.
Maybe shareholders, like,
I don't know,
that type of thing. Like,
maybe,
oh, this movie did so bad, but we need another thing to save us. We could buy Star Wars.
Yeah, and things are going to be up and up. I don't know. It seems like a big gamble to do.
Yeah.
There's also blaming. You said mentioned blaming the marketing. I don't think any marketing could save what we had on TV.
No. Yeah, I get. Unless it was called Princess of Mars.
That would put more people in the seats.
Yeah. You know, you're getting a movie that's on Mars.
Yeah.
You know what you're getting. Not fully, but you have an idea of what you're getting. Again, I keep going back to it. Shawshank Redemption. I have no idea this is a movie about prison, just from the name.
What would you call
no
it?
No idea it's about a prison escape. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Get Busy Living?
Get Busy Living. Oh, no one would ever think it'd be a prison movie.
Though. Yeah, that's true, too.
I don't know. I'm just
no, no. That. I like... The warden was the bad guy.
It's a tough one.
I'm a bad improvisationer.
I got nothing.
But yeah, John Carter.
It's interesting to kind of land on this point where
it's weird because
we feel we're like mad that it's not better.
Yeah, like I want this.
There is.
I watched it not expecting
anything,
and then I was like, mad that it wasn't better. I was mad at it for like, not being better than it was.
You failed me, and I'm, and yeah, like,
because there was moments where I was like, wow, I'm not totally gonna hate this.
You could have been a contender.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh yeah.
Like,
like, yeah, there was literally moments where I was like, there is, I'm not gonna hate this movie, and then, oh, maybe I am. Oh, wait, not
so
much.
There is a good story in here.
Yeah. No, definitely.
I really do think so. An intriguing story. I think, I don't know what the books did with the whole like Greek Roman pirate thing. I'd hope that was, well, even if it's in a book, I think you got to change it for the movie.
Yeah, or at least six. I don't know. No, yeah, it you don't even work. Have to explain. Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't.
The world building is terrible. Yeah. But as you mentioned, the surprisingly good part was the green Martian med.
It really was. Yeah,
that was kind of the best.
When they first showed
the
up,
father daughter kind of thing.
When
they,
yeah, that was interesting. And the whole like branding thing, mm-hmm. when they burned them, like, oh, you only have one left. Like that was.
Yeah, when you commit a crime, you get a brand, and then at some point you get executed.
Like that's the whole thing with Avatar. Like James Cameron said, like there's so much more to this world that's going to be, you know, we're going to find out about, and there's like it's so intricate. Whereas I think this could be that type of world too,
similar,
where we could find out more about them and why they. Why they do that. And
I agree. There was, in the history of the men, human Martians, whatever we want to call them.
Right.
There's a whole, I'm sure there's a long history there. What exactly happened to the water? I never see anyone drinking. I'm curious where they get any water from.
I was a little.
I just got like a lot of questions. I want to know and I want you to show it to me kind of thing.
I was a little thrown off that they kept calling them the red skin guys or something or something like that.
American,
like,
Indian reference.
Yeah, but it was like they're the,
but
like,
because they're just tan from being outside.
Yeah, I was just like, yeah, that threw me off. I was like,
the red woman. And then you could look, I mean, you see the picture, she's got to like red makeup.
Yeah, true.
Or she's hanging out.
Yeah, but yeah, at first I thought the tan, you know, the green aliens were like, it was like too obvious that they were American Indians, you know, the juxtaposition of, you know, the Civil War and all that. But then it grew on me. Like I that was the best part of the movie to me, was the Willem Dafoe and
I think so
his
too.
Tribe.
Yeah. Just they didn't do enough to make the character likable. They didn't do enough to make you tell you what the movie's about.
Right.
And then when you got there, they really
just
didn't
keep playing around with that microphone and banging it around.
They really did a shitty job of building the world to make it seem like something that might happen actually would be plausible to happen on Mars.
How you know,
give it a rating?
Yeah, I was gonna say, we should give these ratings.
I don't know, cause... so this felt like a 3-hour movie, but it's really not. Was it 2 hours 20 or something?
Yeah, 2:14.
So
I just watched it, so I know. Yeah, 2 hours 14 minutes.
I'm not gonna say I liked it, but I do think there is potential there.
You didn't hate it.
I did not hate it. I actually didn't, despite... So I went in, when it first started, I go, oh, this movie's going to be cool. And then I'm like, oh, fuck, this movie's going to suck. But then there were all those little things about it that I think they were drawing from the source material that is actually good.
I thought it could be like a Dune, like that kind of intricate and interesting thing.
Yeah, I don't think it's as deep as Dune, but...
I think it could be.
It could be. And within the hands of the right staff and team, you know, writer, director, they could do a lot. There could be... I think it could be a funner Dune.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like
less serious.
Less serious, less dire, because you have these other creatures, and I think you could... there could be something here. There is an idea here. There is an idea for a good movie here, and I don't know why it... What the hell happened? But so I'll give it 2 stars. I don't want to say that I was entertained. So just 2 buckets of popcorn.
Yeah, I mean I'm.
It is a failure for a reason.
Yeah,
this is a valid flop. You know, I think that's kind of where I'm also thinking. You know, was this one that was misjudged? You know, is something you look back on history where you're like, oh no, this is really good.
Right.
I don't know. Although, despite all the potential we see in it, what we got on screen does not do that potential. So it is ultimately a failure to me.
Yeah. No, I can see that. Yeah. I mean, like you said, I didn't hate it. I hated that I didn't like it as much as I did.
That it's not as good as it could be. You're like mad at the movie.
I saw the potential in it. Like, but yeah, the execution just wasn't good. Yeah, I, you know, Andrew Stanton, you know, I guess should stick with animated. I don't know how much of it was him, you know, how much of it was the studio, like you said, Disney. There's rumors that Disney tanked it on purpose.
I'm not convinced of that, but it is something I've heard.
I mean, I'm kind of like that
Disney sabotaged.
Yeah.
If you go and search that, there are discussions out there about it, but I don't quite. Why wouldn't you want something to make you money? Anyway, sorry.
No, you're good. stuff your sorries in a sack, mister. I'm with you there. 2 stars. 2.5 buckets of popcorn.
Yeah. Right there with each other.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's
there's no way to call this a good movie.
Yeah,
there's too many. Despite having some ideas,
has great potential.
Yeah.
Or had great potential.
It's dead now.
And yeah, if Disney would have stuck with it, I think a sequel could have maybe
really like John Carter 2.
Was in the works. That was planned. It just,
I know there really is something there.
Yeah,
there's a great movie there.
Yeah, definitely.
There's a great IP there.
This is one of the more interesting ones we've talked about. I want to say this is like the first movie we've discussed that it's been like this, where it's been like
it gets in your brain a little.
Yeah,
bit.
Yeah, there's something there. Like,
yeah, and there really is.
Couldn't do it. It's like. It was just the tip type of thing.
Yeah, just the tip, but for real.
Yeah.
Without the surprise, yeah.
But yeah.
Because never, that game is always a fake. It's always a lie.
Yeah, it's never.
But in this case, it was true.
Yeah, it was absolutely true.
This is the ultimate indictment on the film. This was literally just the tip.
Oh, goodness. Love it.
But yeah, I'm surprised. I didn't know that. It's good because we didn't talk before we talked much before we recorded. Is that you caught the same thing I did, which is there's a great story in this.
Yeah, definitely.
Just a small. Make it smaller. That's kind of saying about the action in the beginning. I don't need all that.
Right.
Just send him in the desert and meet a couple of people and just do that story.
Right.
And then I find the I don't know, the medallion thingy, and then I go down the river, and then I end up in the action stuff.
Yeah.
You know, at the end. You know, then I learned how to fight and fly, kind of a thing.
There was a bunch of have stories. Like there's the story with the princess and her father, and then the story of the alien princess and her father.
We would get diverted.
Yeah, like there's so many like just like have things we got, and like the whole thing with Mark Strong's creatures, and
which we still don't know.
Yeah, we still like there was so many just like they were like get ready for the sequel.
You know, like flow.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It never grabbed me more than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Because it went into some, like you said, it would just transition into something else. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think in the beginning, they just showing John Carter in the Civil War era.
They didn't make him out to be likable.
No, I didn't
from
know.
From the start.
Maybe he should be in jail, right? I mean, seems like a bad guy. No, you haven't convinced me otherwise.
Ah, man, I didn't mention this. I meant to mention this, and I didn't, and we're an hour in, but.
I meant to mention
in the dimension. John Carter's a total Mary Sue, the guy version of Mary Sue. That's called.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, Gary Stu.
Gary Stu, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, because you have always said that about Rey in Star Wars.
No, like, yeah, but yeah, she is, no, he is too.
He is, yeah, absolutely. 100% of Mary Sue.
I don't even know why he's so strong.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
You know, I was able to face that giant oncoming horde. I don't know how. It's not,
well, even the way he was able to escape the even before he was in on Mars and was
oh
able
yeah
to, like jumping out windows and got locked up again and
there's no reality to the character at all.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So yeah,
and so yeah, he kept getting caught and we're like, okay, he's just this asshole, he's gonna escape, his name is John Carter because that's why.
Yeah, that's why.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't do anything. Yeah, he would just bust out of shit. Yeah.
I don't know why it come up, just, I guess, because of the name, but, like, Indiana Jones, it's established that he obviously has great luck. Harrison Ford has this charm to him. You know, at the very beginning of Raiders,
and he gives his 100%.
That. Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, and then he loses. He loses at the beginning because he has to give up.
He loses a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and he has to give up a lot. Like, nothing's easy for Indiana Jones ever.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even when he's escaped, he's then has a snake in the plane. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, even then, he's still not.
And Harrison Ford always gives the right look at the right time to tell you his, like, this, like, not happiness with the situation.
And again, not to, you know, I'm not, you know, trying to compare this to Indiana Jones, that it should have been like Indiana Jones.
No, 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 that's okay.
Yeah.
Because this is the kind of franchise that might have that those kinds of ambitions.
Like, you could, there's just, you can do
this could
do
have been
things.
The new Indiana Jones.
Right.
On Mars.
Yeah, yeah, on Mars.
Really?
No, it's seriously, yeah.
I know,
but, like, you
I
can,
wanted, I wanted
Indiana Jones on Mars, that's all I wanted. But yeah,
they didn't sell us on the character, and then really, so
yeah, there was no likability to him.
This thing deserved to flop.
Yep. All right. So yeah, this was a deserved flopbuster.
Absolute flopbuster.
I like this. I like this series. Flopbuster mentality. We're gonna try to do more of these, and first segment of flopbuster mentality.
We're liking it
in the books.
Hey, let us know what you guys think. If you've got a flopbuster that you want to hear us talk about, go ahead and leave it in the comments. About it, delete it that Twitter.
I'm interested if there's any hardcore John Carter fans out there. I want you guys to comment.
Yeah, do you like John Carter? I'd like to hear about it. What your reason is. Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think we're going to have to, going forward, maybe in terms of our, it doesn't have to be a giant budget. It's also just movies that lost money, I think, as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Not financially successful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Well, that is it for us. Again, leave us those comments on Twitter at BlockbusterCast. I'm sorry, not Twitter. X, I think it's called now. X?
It's still Twitter.
Twitter. at BlockbusterCast. Instagram at BlockbusterMentality. Dave at Dave_Quist on Twitter. Good. Do you feel good?
I feel great. About
Blockbuster?
I'm loving it. I'm thrilled that this. I didn't know what I was gonna walk into. Well, I wasn't even sure if you're gonna watch the movie, as I said. This one was a slog to watch, but it's more interesting to talk about this one than it was to watch.
Absolutely.
I like this too. So curious to see what happens as we dive into other financial failures,
other flopbusters. All right, folks. Well, that is it for us. For Dave, I'm Ben, and as always, grab some popcorn, grab some snacks. We'll catch you guys
at the movies.